The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Canadian History X. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can for as little as $3 a month. Just go to patreon.com/CanadaEHX. Every dollar you give helps keep all of this going. You can also donate to the podcast by going to CanadaEHX.com and clicking Donate. Don't forget, I have two other podcasts out there, Pucks and Cups and From John to Justin, which release every single week. Today, I'm speaking with Bruce Whitty. Bruce has been working in Vancouver's film and television industry for over two decades. He has extensive experience in production from development to full technical delivery, with an emphasis on business affairs and provincial and international co-productions. He's made many different films, including How to Be a Wild Elephant for CBC, The Secret of Owls, also for CBC, the animated series Wishfart, and Wild Seasons. And recently, he's released America's Wild Border, Northern Exposure, which is available on the Smithsonian Channel. So, let's get right to my interview with Bruce. So what got you into producing film and television programs and essentially just film and television production?
Well, I guess many years ago, there was a sort of a guerrilla documentary movement that involved the advent of the Sony Mavicam camera. Mm-hmm. You're probably too young to remember. But there was quite a few local people that were started making documentaries, people like Lynn Booth, Jill Sharp, Mark Akbar. He's part of the corporation. And I was coming out of business school, and I was a musician as well, but I needed to get had a child and had to get serious about some kind of career move. So I saw this thing going on, and so I was able to apply my business skills to the industry. So, and then it just evolved from there.
Nice. What kind of got you focusing on nature productions?
Nature, I've worked on all kinds of documentary, human interest, true crime. It wasn't necessarily something I meant to focus on, but what happened was there's my partner on the nature films, or most of the nature films, Jeff Morales. He worked at Nat Geo for 15 years or so. So he brought he's an amazing director of photography and director and writer. And so we combined our skills to pitch these nature shows, and we got a couple of them off the ground. So that's how that evolved. And also Lynn Booth, who I worked for many years, mm-hmm. She was doing some nature things episodes, other nature documentaries as well. So I guess it's just part of the mix, really.
You have America's Wild Border coming out on Love Nature. So how did that come about? Tell me a bit about it.
Well, what happened was initially this was the first series I did with Jeff Morales. It was called America's Wild Seasons, and that was a four-parter following the four seasons of America. And so America's Borderlands it's a follow-up to that series. Okay. And this time it's about the borders. So the first installment is the North, and we hope to do the South. We're developing that portion right now. Getting down to the South right now isn't going to be easy. Mm-hmm. So we hope to be in production on that one by next year.
What were some of the challenges that you kind of faced with putting together Wild Borders, at least the Northern Border one?
The Northern Border? This one went quite smoothly, actually, because we did most of the filming ourselves. Where in America's Wild Seasons, we had a collection of cinematographers spread across the country. So in terms of integrating all the different shoots into one cohesive film was difficult. Where this one, we had more control over the filming. Actually, it went very smoothly because things can go very wrong or not happen at all with these shows, with these natural history documentaries. Mm-hmm. So we're really fortunate that all these shoots went very smoothly, except for I think there's some problems with the moose. The weather spiked and the moose disappeared. But we finally got that one done. So overall, this one went very smoothly.
We've always kind of had nature documentaries, you know, going back, Disney was making them decades ago. But do you feel like they're especially important today for us to learn more about the natural world around us, considering things that we're dealing with, like climate change?
Yes, definitely. The one thing is that I mean, there's with natural history, there's basically the BBC and then everybody else. So, and their budgets are so huge that it's hard to compete in that space, you know, at the level of Planet Earth or something like that. Mm-hmm. However, in making this blue chip documentary, which means there's no humans in them, which is Wild Seasons. Wild Borders has some humans, but they're treated in a blue chip manner in that they don't speak to the screen. Is that it's amazing how much you learn about nature that you don't, there's always new ground to cover. But in terms of educating people, I think that the blue chip often is it's more observational in a survey rather than enlightening people to the challenges, you know, whether it be due to, you know, humans or the environment and so forth. So I think that there could be more of that to educate the public. You can't also be bumming people out with all the problems as well, though. So
yeah,
that help answer your.
It did. I forget what it was, but it was one of the David Attenborough ones, and it really bummed me out for like a week afterwards. I was
so... yeah. You can burn people out really quick with the doom and gloom.
I was really intrigued by. I was really intrigued by the Secret Life of Owls. Can you tell me a bit about that?
That was Lynn, and then she produced it for Nature Things. That was with Neil Reddick. Mm-hmm. He's from Wisconsin, and he's a friend of Jeff Morales as well. He's like another Emmy Award winning cinematographer. They brought it to Lynn, and then she pitched it to CBC, and that's how that evolved. And and they have the owl that is in the film. That's Neil Reddick and Laura Johnson. They're naturists, and that's the subject of that film.
Okay. And you had mentioned you have coming up next year. You want to focus on the southern border, kind of depending on what happens with COVID-19. What are some other things that you've kind of got in the works? 2021 and beyond, kind of when hopefully things get back to normal somewhat.
That co-production that we did with Cineflix and Tailsmith, Takea Lone Wolf, have you seen it?
I have not, no.
It's a CBC Nature Things episode as well, but it's also on BBC and Arte, and it's really resounded with people around the world. After we finished that film, Takea was actually killed by a hunter. So we're working on doing Takea 2, which will take it from where that film ends and then what happened to Takea the wolf after that. As well as I'm also working on developing a nature show about the West Coast and sort of a survey of the species along the coast. And to follow along and just check in, you know, and it could be a repeating series that way. Some species are doing really well. Like you take the killer whales right now, and the pods have been growing and other things are not doing so well. And with the pipeline going in and what effect that's going to have on species and that kind of thing. So that's another project that I'm working on.
You did mention the southern border kind of being impacted by COVID. How is COVID impacting what you do in putting together and producing these nature films and shows?
Our crews are small and we can stay distant and or within a bubble with the small crews. My concern would be travel. And well, we can't travel right now. So that would be the biggest hurdle. There's insurance was a big problem for a while. The Canada Media Fund has started a program though that they will cover insurance for Canadian productions due to COVID, because the only insurance available was out of the US and it was very, very expensive. So I guess what we're hoping for, we're gonna need to film in Canada for now. Mm-hmm. And as far as nature goes, that isn't a big problem. We just gotta find out what shows are gonna work.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, the West Coast show that you're working on is kind of perfect because you don't have to really go too far for that one.
Yeah, and maybe we could use a boat to get down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we got plenty of nature, so.
and it's just the flying crews and going through airports and that kind of thing. I'm pretty curious about that, and we can't even do that right now anyway, right?
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Yeah. And then just the last question, if people are interested in America's Wild Border, if interested in any of the other productions that you've had or done, if they want to get in touch with you, anything like that, you know, Twitter, Facebook, anything.
Oh, sure. It's mbmtv.ca and all our contact information is there. They can for sure get a hold of us. Those shows are airing on Love Nature on the terrestrial channel in Canada and streaming around the world on Love Nature as well, and Smithsonian in the USA. And Takei is on CBC Gem. And Love Nature has a free subscription right now. I think a 30 or 60 day subscription going on that people can sign up for.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Bruce Whitty. And if you did, please leave a rating and review. If you like, you can email me at craig@canadaehx.com. You can visit my website where you'll find hundreds of articles on Canada's history as well as all my podcast episodes. Just go to canadaehx.com. And again, you can support the podcast for as little as $3 a month. Just go to patreon.com/canadaehx, just like all of these wonderful patrons have. And I apologize if I mispronounce any names. Diane Wade, Lori Ann Kirby, Gary Dolovich, Nick Zinri, Pamela Elder, Shannon Marshall, Clinton Martinez, Dimitri Chauve, Aaron O'Hara Myers, Robert Dunseith, Todd Casey, Catherine Rawa, Luke S., Vic Hedges, J.P. Bear, Jason Hall, Phil Maynard, Spencer M., and Iris Gray. As well, you can find me on Facebook. Just search for Canadian History X. Remember, that's EHX. I'm on Twitter. My handle is Craig Baird, CraigBaird. And don't forget, you can find me on Instagram. Just search for Bairdo37. Thanks, and we'll see you again next time.